Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Please visit our website, mediatalk101.org, where you can find helpful articles, videos, and other resources on the subject of media discernment. I'm here in the studio once again with my friend and co-host, Rhett Simpkins. And it's been a long time, Rhett, since we have recorded a podcast.
Yeah, it's been too long.
It's not because we haven't been doing things, though. Mm-hmm. Other important things, which leads us to the first part of this podcast, is a recap on the film festival. That really was the biggest issue in not having a podcast since last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really busy, especially gearing up to the film festival, but it was such a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, so for our podcast listeners here, you know, for those of you who didn't have an opportunity to come down to San Antonio, we want to encourage you to mark your calendars for next year. We don't have the dates exactly set, so stay tuned. We're still working on getting a venue solidified, as well as those dates locked down, but it'll be relatively the same time as last year. But let's talk about 2015 and how the film festival went. So what were some of the highlights, Rhett, that we could share with others?
Well, the Filmmakers Guild, that's the first 2.5 days of the event. So amazing. You know, just we had over 400 people this year, which was really neat to see some growth there. But just some inspiring speakers, neat classes. I didn't get to go to as many as I would have liked to, but a lot of people were really encouraged by the classes we had.
Yeah, over 30 speakers, and mm-hmm. divided between biblical worldview and things that were of the spiritual emphasis, and then the hands-on practical, you know, about the helping to develop the skill of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was encouraged by is after the event, I received an email from a young man, 16 years old, who shared about how that first session of the first day of the Filmmakers Guild impacted his life spiritually and drew him back to the Lord and helped him refocus. And that's really what it's about.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Christian Worldview Film Festival. You know, it's not just a festival for the sake of, you know, encouraging people in filmmaking, but to inspire people in their biblical worldview and to encourage them to focus on Jesus Christ and to put an emphasis on that as they make films for His glory.
That's right. You know, and even recently in our church on Sunday, I've been teaching through the book of 1 Timothy and talking about the qualifications for elders, or what we would call pastors today. And I was pointing out that that we use the title pastor, you know, as kind of an official church title. But it's really in the Bible not used as a title as much as it is a relationship to people. You know, it means to shepherd. Hmm. But likewise, you know, the word Christian is often used as a title today instead of its real context of a disciple and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's one of the biggest problems, I think, in the church and especially in Christian filmmaking, is that it's easy to tack on the name Christian because it's become a title, but it's not meant to be a title. It's mm-hmm. it's supposed to be a manifestation of a person's relationship with Jesus Christ and how the world sees that, not that they're churchgoers or that they're moral people or that, you know, they have some faith, but it's distinct that we're talking about people who are related to Christ as disciples. And, you know, that's one of the things we want to focus on. But let's move on and talk about the film festival itself. So talk a little bit about the films and the people who came to see them. And
yeah, it was so neat, you know, to have all these films there. We showed about 80 films again this year. And we had a great lineup of documentaries this year. I really enjoyed those, and some great feature films, Polycarp and Princess Cut. There were some of the more popular ones, as well as others. And it's really neat just to see all the people coming, even local people and people from all over the country, coming and just being inspired by what they're seeing and just encouraged in their faith by watching films.
I really believe people's lives were impacted, not only the filmmakers, but the people who were attending. There were, I mean, some of the film, I was impacted by many of the films. I think about, there's a documentary that deeply impacted me called Where Was God? And it was about the tornado that hit Moore, Oklahoma, and the devastation that it left in its wake. But really, the documentary focused on several families and individuals whose lives have been seemingly only negatively impacted, but yet the documentary demonstrated how God used that. You know, when a tragedy like that, and people are asking the question, where was God in all of this? They did a great job of showing how God used it and brought people into these other families' lives, and how it was a catalyst for people drawing near to God, not just being a wedge being put in between people and God. And I thought that was very powerful. It's, you know, one filmmaker wrote here, the films were great choices and inspired me to create God-glorifying films. So there's an example of not only people just coming to watch, but filmmakers watching these films and being inspired.
Yeah, that's so cool. In there, we have so many quotes from people who just had some great things to say about their experience there, and many of them that I compiled from different things that were written. People were saying things like that, just how encouraged they were and how refreshing. Here's one. It says, it was a wonderfully refreshing week. It was inspiring. I really grew spiritually. So it's amazing to hear things like that, because it keeps us going, and it helps us to say, yes, we're on the right track with what we're doing, and the Lord is blessing the Christian Worldview Film Festival because it's for His glory.
And we want to encourage our podcast listeners who weren't able to attend. Many of these films are available for purchase. Some of them are still in the post-production stage where they haven't been released yet. But I know one of the winning films, the one we awarded Best Feature Film, which was also voted by the audience as the Audience Choice Award, was the film Polycarp. And Polycarp is now available out on DVD, as well as the winning documentary, which was a fantastic production focusing on religious freedoms, the erosion of religious freedoms in America. That documentary is called One Generation Away. And then a lot of the short films that are that were submitted are available just to watch. And I believe that have you been posting those, Rhett, the ones that are available? Are those on our website?
Yeah. Yep. So if you go to their page under the official selections on our website, you can click. Many of them are posted there. Not all of them are available online, but many of them are. So you can watch them right on our website.
Yeah. What about Now or Never? Is that available online?
Yep, it is.
Oh, you have to see that. So that was one of the winning short films, Now or Never. I won't say anything else about it, but I do remember when that film came in, I remember you asking me, Rhett, have you watched Now or Never yet? And so I knew there must have been something about that film, and I know that I've shared that with others, a very thought-provoking film. And it was just great. We have a list of winning films, as well as runner-ups and finalists, as well as all the official selections on the website cwvff.com or christianworldviewfilmfestival.com. And a couple more quotes here. I received this. Someone wrote, I must express our deep appreciation for the work you and your staff put into this conference. We left with our cups overflowing, still basking in the light we received, and already looking forward to next year. And another person wrote, I love that each speaker constantly encourages all of us toward excellence centered around God's glory. And another person wrote, thank you so much for what will truly be a turning point in my life. Thank you for a week that has brought me back on track.
Amen.
So, and I know did you have any more quotes there, Rhett, that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I do. The workshops and keynote speakers from the Guild were intensely practical, enlightening, convicting, and inspiring each person there not only to give our all for Christ in this industry and beyond, but to do it from a strong foundation of a real and vibrant saving relationship with our Creator God. Another person wrote, I am definitely looking forward to see what God has in store for next year.
I have one here that someone wrote that said, thank you for providing a place of inspiration, refreshment, and solid technical training.
This one says, great speakers, powerful films, and refreshing fellowship were had in abundance. It was such a blessing to be in this environment with other believers seeking to advance Christ's kingdom through the creation of excellent films.
Yeah, I was inspired. It was wonderful to have Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family as one of our speakers during the film festival. Mm-hmm. And he shared a fantastic message on the subject of media discernment. And I had asked him to come specifically for that purpose, because that's what, you know, this ministry, Media Talk 101, that's what we're about. And we wanted to integrate that into the film festival. We also had Greg Harris who came, and his heart was to just share the gospel. And so he preached the gospel on Friday evening, and several people responded to the gospel. And we were so thrilled about that and heard lots of great feedback. So not only the films, but the speakers, we had guest musicians come, and we can't miss talking about the coffee. So, you know, for those who know me and are familiar with this podcast, you know that I love good coffee. One of my hobbies is home roasting coffee. And one of the guys that really got me into this is a man named Nick Jesch from Olympia, Washington. And Nick is a coffee connoisseur, but also is in business supplying coffee to roasted coffee as well as green coffee for home roasters. And Nick was very excited about the film festival, made the trek all the way down from Olympia, Washington to roast coffee on site. And he provided coffee for 1,000 attendees at the film festival.
Mm-hmm.
And this was artisan roasted coffee. It was amazing. So we were very grateful. And we're also not only grateful for people like Nick, but also for the many sponsors that came alongside to help make this a reality. I think of Answers in Genesis that was a sponsor this year. They also premiered a fantastic show called The Wild Brothers, which is a reality program, kind of a reality documentary of a family in Indonesia, missionaries, who are raising four boys. And not only is the family there to reach a tribe with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to disciple them, but the show also focused on these boys that are being raised in the jungle and their adventures, and it was truly exciting. And
mm-hmm.
we're also very thankful for Samaritan Ministries, who came alongside us this year again, and they were sponsors last year. I'm personally a member of Samaritan Ministries, which is a healthcare sharing, a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And so if you're not familiar with that, certainly look up more information about Samaritan Ministries. It's an alternative, a biblical alternative to healthcare, and certainly a great alternative to Obamacare. And so we want to encourage you in that. And then there's a list of sponsors on our website. You can see how many people just came alongside, because there's a growing support for this event. So we are excited. Now, to kind of shift gears here, because we could talk on and on about the film festival and the Filmmakers Guild. So a couple things before we move on to the next thing, just to alert our listeners, is that we are, Lord willing, we're hoping to start a second podcast which is focused on filmmaking. And that will be through the Filmmakers Guild. And so we have a new website that will be coming out, thefilmmakersguild.com. It's not up and running yet, but we will, when it is, we'll let you know. And we'll be reaching out specifically to filmmakers, Christian filmmakers, and have hopefully an ongoing podcast to deal with specific filmmaking issues. And we're going to be interviewing many of our speakers throughout the year. And so I'm excited about that. But also, talk about the t-shirts. That's kind of a new addition to the website.
Yeah, so now if you were at the festival or if you didn't even make it down there this year, you have the opportunity to buy a t-shirt online. So it's right at our website, christianworldviewfilmfestival.com. There's a link there to go to the shop in the menu. And yeah, discounted prices and free shipping to anywhere in the U.S. So don't neglect to get your t-shirt.
Yeah, a good practical thing, and it also helps the ministry. Mm-hmm. So no doubt you might be thinking, well, I have a bunch of t-shirts. Well, so do I, you know. But these are really cool. This is a way to support Media Talk 101 and support the film festival. So if you and by the way, they're quality t-shirts. Mm-hmm. We invested a little more this year to get some nice quality youthful type style t-shirts, and I'm wearing them all the time. I love.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing mine right now.
We had I am too. I didn't even plan that, but we had so many volunteers. That's another thing we want to just thank the Lord for. Over 100 volunteers from our the church here, our church down in Texas, as well as some other churches that helped put this on, and it's great to go to church and see people wearing the film festival t-shirts, still showing their support. It was a wonderful time. It was a lot of work, but it was work that was well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention also one of our speakers that we had there is a friend, John Clay Burnett. John Clay was the camera person, or what we'd call the director of photography, for Captivated. And I want to just give a shout out to John Clay Burnett. Congratulations on his engagement.
All right.
To Sarah, who is also a filmmaker, and their upcoming marriage later this summer. And so congratulations, John Clay. I'm sorry I'm not able to make it to the wedding, but I am so glad. John Clay's been a faithful friend, but also a faithful podcast listener. He also is one who sends us articles, which we encourage people to do, send us links. And so we're going to talk about that as we shift gears here. And for fun, and we're going to post this on the in the blog portion. We have a section for videos, links to videos. And we don't post a lot there, but this one, John Clay sent us this one. It comes from Google, and it was an April Fool's joke. You're just going to have to watch it, because what I liked about this April Fool's video was the fact that there's a current, you know, there's a message in there that's embedded, whether they, you know, are intending it or not. They're recognizing some of the problems that we're having and the distraction and disruptions of media. And so that gets integrated into what's essentially just a funny little video. So you can check that out on our website. Another article we received from a podcast listener this one about kids performing better at schools that ban phones. So why don't you talk about that, Rhett?
Yeah, so the article starts with this question. Have you ever wondered whether smartphones can make your kids smarter? Yes, they make them smarter at Snapchat and Candy Crush, but do they help them crunch a math problem with greater mental alacrity? One survey suggests not. The article continues explaining how the London School of Economics did a survey about cell phone use in the public schools in England, and just compared results from before they had a cell phone ban in the school and then afterward, and showed how the test results of the students actually increased after cell phones were banned.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in this article. They quote from this study, it says, a highly multipurpose technology such as mobile phones can have a negative impact on productivity through distraction, which to me, that's just common sense, but mm-hmm. It's nice to hear other people other than us, you know, saying things that we've been saying for quite a long time, but that we often look at these new technologies as things that bring only benefit, you know, to life. But without caution and using these with discretion, they're not always a positive. In fact, many times they're a negative. And in this case, you know, cell phones. I remember probably going back 8 or 9 years ago, and this was before smartphones were as prevalent as they are today, but I was speaking at a Christian school in Alabama, and I spoke to at a school assembly, so I spoke to the whole group, and then afterward I went to individual classes, and they were middle school classes. And I remember the first classroom I went into to do some Q&A with the students, the teacher had a pile of cell phones on his desk.
Hmm.
And so I asked him about that. And he says, oh yeah, I'm assigned, you know, to collect these before class. And I said, wow, for the whole school? Because it was such a big pile. He said, no, just for this class.
Wow.
And this is going back about 8 years ago, which again, that's like dog years in technology. So it was quite a shock. And that certainly has not gotten any better. So it is pretty common for students to have phones and now smartphones. And these aren't necessarily helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, so this article is, you know, essentially demonstrating how when the schools banned the cell phones, the smartphones, then the test scores go up, you know, because it's a distraction. Also, there was another article sent by our friend and podcast listener, John Clay, that was interesting about millennials' use of technology. And I'm just going to summarize this. The title is, This is Millennials' Most Embarrassing Secret. And it starts out by saying, we lose billions a year because of this. Today's young adults are establishing their careers, but their lack of technological prowess is costing their employers big time. And of course, that's a shocking statement. And it goes on to say, yes, you read that right. In spite of growing up, having the internet in the palms of their hands, these so-called digital natives have a yawning knowledge gap that's not apparent until they get into the office. And it goes on to explain how even though, you know, many millennials are good at handling their smartphones and watching YouTube videos and social networking, a lot of these things don't translate to helpful use of these tech tools in the workplace, like using Microsoft or Excel spreadsheets, and they list some other things there. So it was just interesting how some of these skills are not necessarily transferable.
Mm.
Another article that JC sent to us, which came from lynda.com, which is a website dedicated to providing training for a whole variety of tech, but they also have some articles, and this one was called Unplug for Better Focus, Sleep, and Marriage. And let me just read the first couple lines of this. The author says, we live in a world where things are constantly begging for our attention. Text messages, Snapchats, tweets, and Hangouts are always drawing our focus away from the real world and towards the digital one. And he goes on to talk about his own story of being continually distracted to the point where it began to affect his sleep and affect his relationship with his wife. And it doesn't appear that he has any children, but certainly if he had children, it would have affected his relationship with his children as well. This author is not writing from necessarily a Christian perspective, but just you know, his own journey. What happened was it inspired him to begin unplugging. Not, you know, we encourage a media fast, and this is a version of a media fast, which I think is very helpful, and that is carving out time each day to unplug. And so he set certain hours during the day where they were just media free, you know, nothing's on, no distractions. And he says, what I've found in the 6 months that I've been doing this little experiment is that my sleep has improved, my marriage is stronger, and my overall sense of well-being is higher than it's been in years. And there was more that he just shared about, you know, the background to that and how that inspired him to make some changes and how he thinks these changes would be helpful to other people as well. Towards the end of the article, he kind of recaps it with a couple of things and that we can relate to if you decide that you're going to unplug during certain times during the day. He says, there are times when I'll remind my wife of our no device policy at dinner, or when I'll have to explain to someone why I missed their phone call. That's tough because we've become a society that accepts these constant interruptions as a part of everyday life. So most people think you're being rude if you don't respond to a text or answer the phone right away. So this, Rhett, goes back to that subject of expectations of instantaneous communication across distance, you know, which didn't exist before the invention of the telegraph. And, you know, mankind didn't have that, they didn't have those expectations. And certainly didn't even after the telegraph because it was limited to, you know, so many operators. But now in the 21st century, it's become the norm that people expect you to get back with them right away. And one more quote here from this article. He says, remember, this technology was built to aid our lives, not control it. We have to make sure we're making these devices work for us and not the other way around. So just a great, you know, just a great article pointing out that it's not just Media Talk 101, you know, out there identifying these problems. I believe that we were seeing these long before these articles were being written. I think we were ahead of the curve, but not always, you know, getting the traction. So it's good to see. It's good to see that more and more people are thinking through these things. But more importantly, you know, what this man didn't write about was the spiritual side of things, because life is not just about relationships with one another and productivity at work or even school grades. You know, we know that life is essentially about the opportunity to be in a right relationship with God, because it's not just life here. There's an eternity, and eternity compared with this very short temporal period, I mean, there's no comparisons. And so while so many people are caught up with just the here and now, we want to always remind people that there's more to life. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. I also think about the words of Jesus to his disciples. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? So even if we were to identify the problems with technology and we were to correct those problems, that in itself is not the solution to man's problem on the earth. Man's problem is that his sin has separated him from his Creator. And the solution to that problem is that the Creator God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to become a man and lived a perfect life and offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins on a cross. And he was buried in a grave, and on the third day he rose again. And this was something he had prophesied about, that he would not only offer up his life for ours, but that he would rise again and live forever and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that by his name, you know, and that is how men can be saved, if we repent of our sins and call upon him. And that's really what life is about. And certainly there are all these other things. And Jesus recognized that there are many other details of life. But even when it comes to these details, Jesus said to his disciples, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So all these other details, these need to be in light of following Christ, which is what we're always talking about in regard to media. It's not just media choices. It's not just wisdom, you know, for a better social experience in life. This is media choices in light of following Christ. And along that line, we have one more really big announcement for our ministry. And that is, I've got a new book out, Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise. In fact, we're releasing it today, if this podcast goes out today, which we hope it does. So today is the official release of the new book, Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise. And I want to talk a little bit about this, because if you've been a longtime supporter of this podcast or the ministry, you're familiar with my former book, hopefully, known as What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. I wrote that book in 2005. It was what kickstarted the ministry of Media Talk 101. I wrote the book first before I even as I was establishing the ministry. And then I took the materials that I wrote in that book, and I began to create a presentation based on the book. And that's what I began to share around the country. And that presentation over the years began to change and be tweaked until it eventually became known as Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise. But now this is 10 years ago. And it was a few years ago that I realized, you know what, this book is in need of an update. So much has changed. And so I set on a journey originally just to update that book. But then as I was doing the updates to the chapters, I realized, wow, there's so much missing because so much has changed that there needs to be new content. So I was at a crossroads to decide, well, either I update this old book and I write a new book, or I could just add material to this book that I've updated and kind of give it a new title and a new cover. And so that's actually what I chose to do. So this book, Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise, has a lot of the same material, although much of it edited and changed up a little bit. So it has a lot of the content that was in the previous book, but there are 14 new chapters that have been added, which are, you know, unique. And so so if you are familiar with the other book, you know, I wouldn't want you to say, well, I'm not interested in a repeat. Well, it's not really a repeat. And I think you'd really enjoy the new version of this as well as the new chapters. And so I want to ask you to consider three action steps. And with this book release, we're releasing it on Amazon.com, and it's available in print version as well as Kindle. And the thing about Amazon is it has a potential to help us reach an audience that we have not connected with before. But in order to do that, we kind of have to get on the radar in Amazon. And in order to get on the radar, we need a certain number of sales in the next few days to just help the book move up the ranks a little bit. You know, because there's millions of books on Amazon. And we've picked a few, you know, we've placed this book in a few strategic categories, which will enable the book, at least within those categories, to hopefully get a spotlight. And so I'm just asking our listeners if you could help with that. And so we've discounted the book. We've put it on sale. The list price is $14, and we have it on sale right now on Amazon for $10.99. And the Kindle book is only $2.99. And if you'll take a moment today or in the next day to go to Amazon and just purchase a copy, that would be the first action step. And not only will you be blessed with a book that I believe is going to be an encouragement to you and your family, but it's also going to help in our Google rankings and help the book hopefully reach others as well. So you're not just helping us, you're helping this book to be advertised to new people. And so that's one step. And you might think, well, you know, I've read your previous book, I'm so familiar with your material, I'm still not interested. Well, think about maybe someone in your life, maybe one of your children, you know, or maybe it's a relative or a neighbor or a friend or someone in your church or your pastor, you know, or the youth pastor or maybe, you know, you have connections with a Christian school in your town. And this would be a great resource. And so, you know, think about getting a copy to donate to your local Christian school or to your church library. So that would be one, the first action step. The second one would be for those who would like to go the extra mile and not only get a copy of the book and read it, but also go back and write a helpful review on Amazon. That's another way that we can help get on the map, is to have and get on the radar of Amazon's algorithm, you know, search algorithms, is to have people offering reviews. And so that would be something that you would just take the time and hopefully write something nice about the book. And that would be a blessing. And then the third action step would be if you would share about this book with others. You know, so if you have a contact list or you have a reach maybe through social networks, that you could reach out to people and say, hey, there's this new book out here and I would recommend it to you. We just encourage you to do that. And I'm just looking forward to just seeing how this book's, you know, how this book will spread and reach. We've seen how Amazon has been very helpful in DVDs, the captivated DVDs, getting out to areas where and to people that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to connect with. And that's still going on today. So your investment in a little bit of time, a little bit of your financial resources can have a long-term payoff for this ministry, because this doesn't just affect this week. If we can get enough sales this week, it'll actually benefit us for years to come. So I just want to encourage you to be thoughtful about that, prayerful about that, and in a way that you can help the Ministry of Media Talk 101 and help this book launch be a success. Let me just read to you the Media Choices Convictions or Compromise description that we have on Amazon.com. The digital age emerged suddenly on the world's timeline and has drastically changed the shape of culture. Consequently, today's entertainment has become one of the biggest stumbling blocks to spiritual growth and family health in our nation. Parenting teens was a noble challenge long before society became surrounded by captivating screens. And navigating life as a teen had plenty of difficulties and distractions long before the game-changing technology of the smartphone. The bottom line is that parents and teens are both in need of help. Our generation is faced each day with an all-you-can-eat media buffet. It has a huge influence on how we think, how we spend our time, how we relate to others. It can also affect our relationship with God. Christians have been eager to keep up with the sweeping changes, but have fallen far behind in biblical wisdom. There is a growing need for media discernment in the light of following Christ. Very few authors have broached the topic of media literacy from a Christian worldview. Philip Telfer, that would be me, handles this challenging subject deftly with story-driven analogies that serve as a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. While this does not conclude with a call to be anti-media or anti-technology, it does raise concerns about the unchecked enthusiasm regarding media and entertainment, which are often consumed without discretion. This book will help you discover the biblical principles that can inspire reasonable convictions. Learn how God's Word addresses the unique challenges we face today. This book can help parents and teens discover how and why to guard their hearts and find freedom in this media captive culture. So there you have it, Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise, and pick up your copy today hot off the press. And remember, every song is a sermon, every movie a message, every TV a teacher, every word a weapon, and a picture's worth a thousand words.
Thank you for listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for more conversation about media discernment in the light of following Christ. If you're interested in learning more in the meantime, visit mediatalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including archived podcasts. And if you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on this podcast, send them to podcast@mediatalk101.org. That's podcast@mediatalk101.org.